W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
From the Darling New Media Studios,
this is the WTH Podcast.
Howdy, welcome in to another episode of the WTH Podcast.
WT.
Hope you're happy to be here. So I want to mention real quick before we go any further, the other podcast that I do, the Morning Crunch Wrap Podcast. So I've banked some ahead of time.
Oh, damn.
So one dropped this morning as well. And where I predicted that Colin Kaepernick would still not be in the NFL as of today.
Yeah.
Because his agent has reached out to several NFL teams, including Kareem's Steelers, who will not sign him.
They could have used him.
No. They could have. Can you imagine Cap coming back against his old team?
That'd be awesome, right? Be one for the ages.
Yep. Yep, would have been, but nope.
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 I'm going to go with Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges.
Hey, we settled the Steeler talk.
Now, to be fair, they could be the next Tom Brady.
They could.
But they're not.
No. We'll see. Hey, listen, we have a $10 bet.
That's true. You do.
To limit the Steeler talk. Limit the Steeler talk.
Fair enough. Coming up on today's show, we have some grievances to get out. Trump's African-American has said, not anymore, pal.
Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And depressed? Well, it could be your dad.
I've been saying this.
Welcome into anybody watching us on Facebook Live. There's no one watching us on Facebook Live.
Well, this isn't our normal night.
It is not. Yeah, it's not like people get a notification that that's happening. I don't care. Facebook means nothing to me. Mm. It really means nothing to me. So it
means everything to me.
Does it? Yeah. I'm more of a Twitter guy. Let me run through my followers again.
No, thank you. Scared off all of our other ones.
All right. So this story broke at this point a week ago now. Kevin Hart is now being sued by his sex tape partner for $60 million. Now, when we say sex tape partner, it's the woman that he was having sex with on the tape that was shot by somebody else. Now, Kevin claims that he was extorted too over the tape, that he had nothing to do with it. She is now saying that Kevin was in on the recording liaison. She is claiming that the lawsuit obtained by TMZ, her 2017 encounter with Hart in a Vegas hotel room was all planned by her, by him and TJ Jackson, his friend who was later arrested for extortion. She says Hart was motivated by publicity, the need to get more, especially with an upcoming comedy tour. And that is why he and JT allegedly hid the camera.
Oh, and he did it just so he could get his buddy in jail.
Right. The suit claims Hart allowed Jackson into the hotel suite so he could set up the hidden recording devices to capture the liaison. Jackson was later charged with two counts of extortion relating to alleged efforts to get money out of Hart to keep the tape under wraps. Jackson denied ever extorting the comedian. Hart's repeatedly denied having any knowledge of the recording, claiming he, too, was a victim of the extortion attempts. Now, Kevin also apologized for his infidelity and was adamant that no one should profit off of his mistake. So, here's the question. Is she worth $60 million?
No.
Is she going to get anything out of Kevin Hart?
No. So the question, the other part of that would mean that his wife would have to have been in on it too.
And you know what? It's so weird. Again, talked about this on the Morning Crunch Wrap last week. You don't know anymore with celebrities who is juicing you and who isn't. Who is Pam and Tommy Lee and their sex tape got stolen, and who is Kim Kardashian and Ray J and your mom's peddling it?
Right.
or somewhere in the middle. You don't know anymore, and you can't just go, oh, well, Kevin Hart seems like a nice guy, so it probably wasn't him. I don't freaking know.
Yeah, but we're saying his wife would have had to be on it, in on it, for him to do the tape.
Uh-huh.
Because.
Wait, yeah, how?
Because that $60 million that she wants, his wife would have been asking for that in the divorce if she had got a divorce because of this.
Does Kevin Hart have $60 million at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sorry.
But.
That is a lot of money, by the way.
I will say that at the same time, though, too, like, it doesn't matter whether or not he had actually hidden the tape, like the camera in the first place, and was recording the liaison in the first, like, when it comes down to it, that tape was then taken and then used to extort money from him, right? So, like, he ended up being a victim of it.
Unless it was all part of the plan.
Right. It was a part of his
plan. To make him a sympathetic character.
Right. And have his buddy.
Again, people will believe this.
Oh, yeah.
People will believe it.
And had his buddy get thrown in jail. Like, a guy that he had trusted.
So, in 2017, he'd been in movies with The Rock and
Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Hart has done a lot of things. I just, you know, and there's no doubt he's got a pile of money.
And I think that might have been the year that he sold out Madison Square Garden a couple of more than one night.
Yeah, he is undoubtedly one of the most popular comedians. He works, doesn't work clean, but he works
clean. Pretty clean.
He works cleaner than most. But and he's going to be off work for quite a while now. So by 2017, there's a bunch of stuff. He'd done the Ride Along movies. He'd done Central Intelligence with The Rock.
He'd done Get Hard.
Yeah, that movie was terrible.
Oh, I know. But he had Ride Along 2. He had Get Hard.
Ride Along 1.
Ride Along 1.
Grudge Match. This Is the End.
Yeah.
I mean.
But I'm just saying what he was going into.
Sure.
Coming out of that for what she's saying.
Well, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle was 2017 as well. So he'd already shot that one.
Yeah. So he had plenty of publicity is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He didn't need any more.
So he didn't need your sex. He didn't need a sex tape that would jeopardize his marriage and his reputation.
I don't know how many people are like, you know what I need to see? Kevin Hart getting it on.
Yeah.
That's what I.
Yeah, like, I definitely there's, do not.
I have access to all the pornography in the world, but you know what I would rather see? Kevin Hart getting it on.
Yeah, no.
No. No. So we'll see how it all plays out. But there is a really great way to prevent that from happening. Don't fuck around on your wife.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Unless you have permission. But Great Outdoors. they're remaking The Great Outdoors. Like, who's in that with him?
Well, there's nothing on there. They've announced it.
Does that mean it could or could not be made?
Yeah, right now.
Well, and that's the thing is how long is Kevin Hart going to not be making movies? I mean, that's the real question with all of this.
That's what I've been wondering.
Because it could be a while, considering how serious his back injuries are. All right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's lucky to be with us.
And now it's time for the airing of the f***ing grievances.
All right. Every Monday, we tell you what's stuck in our craw. Kareem, we'll start with you this time.
Peoples. Stop trying to fuck over people that try to help you.
Oh, damn.
That's my grievance. If somebody's making an effort to help you and you want to throw them under the bus because you think you're going to get some money or something for it, cut that shit out.
Fuck yeah.
Because at some point you might need that person again in the end.
Fair point. Jason, what about you?
Oh, man. Seeing what I might become. I'm the asshole once again. My grievance is with myself. So on Saturday, went to, was it Sunday? gosh, was it Sunday?
If you don't decide, I'm going to go back to the people I follow on Twitter.
So we took CJ to the zoo, and in the new baby Alma, but it's primarily for CJ so she can run around.
Sure.
And we went there, and at the very beginning, when you go to the Sacramento Zoo, if you're a member, or if you're even entering, they give you like 4 coins, and they're washers, but they have these big circular things that you put the coin in, and it goes around in a circle and spiral and goes down, and
sure,
it's kind of cool. So CJ, that's something that she gets to do. She gets to choose which animals that she does that with, and puts the coin in, because it, you know, depending on how many coins go in there, that depends on how much money they donate to that animal. So she picked one and she dropped the coins in, and her last 2 coins were going down. And then this kid made eye contact with me, eye contact with her, and then stuck his arm down and blocked the coins. So they all fell right down into like the hole. And I look at him, I'm like, thanks, buddy. And then I walk away. And so I made an offhanded like comment about the kid, mm-hmm. you know, like the kid's like 5 years old, 4 years old,
mm-hmm. but a dick.
But yeah, and then I threw a little bit of like, you know, I wasn't mean about it. It wasn't like I said, thanks, asshole. I was like, oh, thanks, buddy. And then picked my daughter up and then, you know, proceeded to put her over into her stroller, or to let her walk around. I can't remember what I did. But Chris caught the end of it. She didn't hear the whole thing. And the lady kind of heard it. And then she talked to her wife or her girlfriend. Then they tried to give me the coins. It's like, no, it's not a big deal. It's don't worry about it. And then at the same time, Chris is like, you're throwing shade at a 5-year-old. Like, that is embarrassing, Jason. You are embarrassing.
Look, I'm standing up for my daughter.
Yeah. Like, so anyhow, I just realized, so like for the next 20 minutes, I was like stuck in this loop.
How did that only last 20 minutes?
It's my still, because I was really hard on myself for about 20 minutes. And then I realized, it was really upset me, because I really felt like maybe I was a dick to this kid. But at the same time, I just allowed myself to be human, make a mistake, right? And the kid was a little bit of a dick to my daughter. And I was just kind of standing up for her. And that's the way I have to frame it in my mind to make it okay for me to lay shade like a 5-year-old kid. So, yeah, I'm the asshole.
Yeah. The real question is how do you not... I mean, the fact that it was only 20 minutes and your wife let it go...
Because she saw that I was having like a like almost like a nervous breakdown in my mind at
so
the same
that's
time.
So that's your tactic?
Yeah.
That's his tactic. He's got a tactic, Kareem. That's how he doesn't get it.
Bro, you can figure it out, man.
Yeah. Well, my grievance is Nick Carter.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Nick Carter has gotten a restraining order against Aaron Carter.
What?
Nick Carter had to get a restraining order against Aaron Carter. Aaron Carter apparently inherited a bunch of guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then he allegedly threatened Nick Carter's wife. So he had no choice but to seek legal protection. Now,
he just wants to throw a party, all right?
I'm sorry. My grievance isn't Nick. It's Aaron Carter. It's Aaron Carter. I got my Carters mixed up. I got them mixed up.
I knew
up.
What you meant.
It's not okay to threaten to kill your brother's pregnant wife and unborn child. Even if you say you'll never harm family. Well, how about you wouldn't harm anybody since you've inherited a cache of weapons? And a week or two ago, you were in Lancaster buying a friggin' box of ammunition. And not like a little box of ammunition. A fucking pile of ammunition.
A pallet. A pallet of ammunition.
That might be a little much, but
he has some shit to do, man.
You know your life is not going well when your siblings start taking out restraining orders against you.
You know your life isn't going well when you're in Lancaster buying lots of ammunition.
You could have stopped. You could have stopped at Lancaster.
Yeah,
you really could have.
You're just in Lancaster. I mean, God love you if you live there. We need people like you in the world.
Nick is saying we love our brother and truly hope he gets the proper treatment he needs before any harm comes to himself or anyone else.
Something. Yeah, man. Well, what do you expect, man? I mean, like his hit song isn't being played as much anymore.
Here's a pro tip. Just a pro tip. If you're a dude and you got a bunch of guns, maybe take a look at your will and don't give them to your mentally unstable one.
But that's so much fun.
Yeah, but he's dead. He don't know.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Aaron, still fucking up, bro.
So that's the airing of the grievances. That's the way it goes. All right. Have to please hold while I scroll. All right. So if you remember in the campaign, Donald Trump came to Redding, California, and infamously said, let's see if the clip is in here. Of course, it's not in here, but it should be in here. He said, there's my African-American right there. He's fed up. After 2 years of frustration with the president's rhetoric on race and the lack of diversity in the administration, Gregory Cheadle told PBS NewsHour he's decided to leave the Republican Party and run for a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives as an independent in 2020. Now the 62-year-old real estate broker who supported the Republican approach to the economy said he sees the party as pursuing a pro-white agenda and using black people like him as political pawns. The final straw for Cheadle came when he watched many Republicans defend Trump's tweets telling four congresswomen of color who are all American citizens to go back to their countries, as well as defend the president's attacks on Representative Elijah Cummings and his comments that Cummings' hometown of Baltimore is infested, saying that President Trump is a rich guy who's mired in white privilege to the extreme. Cheadle, who's from Reading, switched from being an independent to a Republican in 2001. He said Republicans are too sheepish to call him out on anything, and they're afraid of losing their positions and losing any power themselves. When he was asked by NewsHour on the White House lawn about Cheadle leaving the Republican Party, President Trump claimed he has a lot of support from African-American voters. Trump said, "We have tremendous African-American support. I would say that I'm at my all-time high. I don't think I've ever had the support that I've had now. I think I'm going to do very well with African-Americans. African-American support has been the best we've had," end quote. Now, when pressed about whether he thought Cheadle was wrong to say Trump was pursuing a pro-white agenda, Trump said he didn't know who Cheadle was.
But that was his.
He's my African-American, as he referred to him. After NewsHour recalled the 2016 moment to Trump, the president continued to tout his popularity among African-American voters, saying, quote, "I think this, it's very simple. We've had the best numbers we've ever had for African-Americans in terms of employment and unemployment. So I think we're going to do very well." Now, Trump faced fierce backlash after he tweeted in July about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Ayanna Pressley that they should leave the United States. Trump wrote, "Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how it's done?" That same month, Trump said Cummings, Maryland district, which includes parts of Baltimore, was a disgusting rodent and rat-infested mess. Whew. Now, the White House and Trump have fiercely defended the president's comments as fair criticism of the lawmaker's liberal policies. But for Cheadle, the incidents were too much. A few weeks ago, he was scrolling through posts written by fellow Republicans who were his Facebook friends and reached a breaking point, saying they were sidestepping the people of color issue and saying that, no, it's not racist. They were saying these people were socialists and communists. That's what they were saying. And I thought this is a classic case of whites not seeing racism because they want to put blinders on and make it about something else.
Damn it. Didn't I say that earlier?
I believe I've heard that. The actual quote from Trump at a June 2016 rally in Redding, California, quote, look at my African-American over there. Look at him. Are you the greatest? And he said, no, that's Muhammad Ali, sir. At the time, Cheadle took the president's comments as a joke and laughed along with the president and the crowd of largely white supporters. Now his view of that moment changed. He said, I'm more critical of it today than I was back then. Because today, I wonder to what extent he said that for political gain or for attention. About 1,000%, dude.
1,000%, bro.
About 1,000%. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't have my finger on the pulse of the African American community. I don't know that Donald Trump's going to do that great with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
His best hope is that they stay home.
Yeah, that is true.
That's probably
it. Biden's pulling at like 69% with them though, right?
Yep.
69.
Beta male.
Meanwhile, in Australia, a massive semen explosion has happened.
Oh yeah. I love that, man. Yeah. Shit, there's nothing like a big one.
Right after a blaze hits a bull artificial insemination facility, firefighters were forced to dodge projectiles.
Oh, no.
A huge fire at a cattle breeding facility in Australia has caused thousands of dollars in damage after at least 100 cylinders containing bull semen were destroyed. Emergency services were called to the blaze in the early hours at Yarram Herd Services in Gippsland, Victoria. Now, according to ABC, it took 10 fire crews more than 2 hours to fully extinguish the fire after it broke out at 3 a.m. A spokesman for the County Fire Authority told Daily Mail Australia that the fire had completely shredded the building. Country Fire Authority Gippsland Commander Chris, whose name I will not attempt to pronounce, said the crew had to be wary of projectiles coming at them while they were tackling the blaze. The liquid inside the cylinders was rapidly expanding, and essentially the lids of the cryogenic cylinders were just popping off.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were.
And projectiles were being thrown from the building. So firefighters went into a defensive mode initially to protect themselves because there were also LPG cylinders at the neighboring property, and they did a magnificent job.
Oh, great.
He added that he's never had anything to do with the artificial insemination side of things before during his career.
Well, you know, now he has.
They lost 100 cryogenic cylinders of cattle semen. It's a huge blow for farmers.
Yeah, see what you did there.
There was this huge hog in front of me.
The actual cylinders are worth between $500 and $1,000 Australian dollars per unit, but the semen inside them varies in price, saying we're coming into the AI season, so there would have been substantial amounts of semen inside the tanks that we've lost, which was owned by our local farmers, and it can range in value from $5 per straw to $95 per straw.
There was this huge hog in front of me.
Man, that $95 stuff, man, that's like some fucking, it's like some Dom Perignon.
What'd you do today? I dodged cum.
Yeah, this is, as much as we joke about this,
beta male,
it's a big deal for the farmers there because, yeah. I mean, this is how they get the cows pregnant. If you don't get a cow pregnant, you don't get milk next year.
Oh, they don't, you mean they don't let them just go into the field and do it?
You don't keep a bull with the cows anymore. That's old timey thinking, Jason.
Oh, really? You don't just like introduce like, you know, like 20 of them in there and just like,
no,
give them 100 to
no,
so that bit of knowledge that my dad bestowed upon me
is about that the one walk down and fuck them all.
Yeah
no,
it's great. My dad told me that joke when I was like 12 years old, 13 years old, right?
Of course he did. Oh,
it's a great joke because it's a classic.
Right. So it's as funny as it may be to us, it's bad news for them. If you're,
but it was popping off.
Well, yeah. Basically, if you don't know, the semen gets put into straws and then it gets put into liquid nitrogen, so it's
right.
frozen.
Right.
And then you put that with fire and...
And it pops off!
There was this huge hog in front of me.
Yeah.
Well, now there's going to have to be a bunch of hogs in front of people.
Meanwhile, in Ohio, an imprisoned illegal immigrant used a smuggled cell phone to run a drug trafficking operation that distributed fentanyl, cocaine, methamphetamine, and marijuana smuggled into the U.S. from Mexico. That's from federal prosecutors. Jose Lozano Leon, who's 41, was one of 10 defendants named in a 17-count felony indictment filed in the U.S. District Court in Cleveland. He's a Mexican national identified as the head of the drug trafficking organization. He's been locked up in a privately owned Northeast Ohio Correctional Center in Youngstown since late last year when he pleaded guilty to illegally reentering the U.S. So before we get into the cell phone, that's great and all like this. Mm-hmm. We done with the private prisons?
We should be.
In California, we are.
Yeah, we're done in California with them and hopefully other places too.
They tend to be more corrupt than regular prisons because the guards aren't getting paid enough money. So they got to shake down the inmates to get anything extra.
Yeah, it's bad times. All right, so...
Watch out for that back sack.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we have played Jesse Lee Peterson on the show before.
Beta male.
Yeah, he's a very angry man with a speech impediment.
Beta male.
And he said, if you're depressed, well, you have to blame it on your daddy. The real question is, who's your daddy?
Depressed or have suicidal thoughts. You have those when you're not Christians. And so I was thinking, how can he be a man of God and take his own life due to depression or suicidal thoughts or the crap like that, right? Then I realized after the show yesterday, the reason for that is that there are Christians who believe that you can be born again of God, but still sin. And anyone who sin accepted, and they are slaves to those things, right? And so if you are, you still sin and call yourself a man or woman of God, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. Christ came that you should not sin once you're born again, right? Because sin is of your father, the devil. And so one of the reasons...
Wait, hold on a second.
...that you're seeing all these Christians...
So once you've been born again, you mm-hmm. can't ever sin again.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Because it's born of your father, the devil.
Right. I mean, I was making sure.
That's what he said.
Okay.
...who are depressed and suicidal thoughts and committed suicide and living just like the world is because they're still of the world. Satan is still their daddy, even though they claim to be a Christian.
This is the same a-hole that last week when he was yelling about
beta male
was because a congressman is not running for re-election because he wants to stay home and take care of his wife and unborn child.
Well, that's the Satan's in him.
That's right.
He's also wearing this. This would be Trump's new African American. He's wearing a black T-shirt with big white letters on the front that say, "Oh, the wall going up."
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, it is, but
that's what his shirt says. Oh, the wall going up,
man. JLP, are you following him?
Who?
JLP.
I don't know what that is.
That's that guy.
Oh no.
That's his JLP live.
Nope. I just go on Right Wing Watch and check out what they. I let them do the work for me.
Well, yeah, I mean they get you they're African American.
That's, I
beta male.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes it's worth
beta
it.
Beta male.
There was this huge hog in front of me.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
It was Tommy, right? Talking about that one time.
This one time, Benny.
There's a huge hog.
Uh-huh. It was terrible. It was one of those terrible things. All right, let's get the hell out of here.
Finally.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
We wrap it up with an eat beat from Marilyn Haggerty.
I can't wait for the report card.
Mm-hmm. For a homey meal, drive to Hillsborough Cafe.
Let's hear it, Marilyn.
They started out tentatively in October 2 years ago in Hillsborough. Derek and Kate Einert moved into a sturdy old building on the rather deserted Main Street. In its day, the building housed the Johnson store, now long gone. And with the work of the Einerts, it came alive again as a homey restaurant. There are 8 tables of varying sizes and shapes, and there's a small counter. The walls are full of historical memorabilia, and there's extra room, seat, an extra room to seat the overflow. Oh, an extra room to seat the overflow. Oh,
okay.
Now, the cafe is the only full-scale dining place in this town halfway between Grand Forks and Fargo on Interstate 29. So if you're hungry, well, you better stop there. Ainert's brought with them experience at Kroll's Diner, Perkins, and Denny's in Fargo.
Okay, all right.
She brought her restaurant experience and education at NDSU in Fargo. Now the Hillsborough Cafe seems to be the gathering place. There's no other place to eat. It draws workers from the nearby American Crystal plant.
Is that where we make our methamphetamines?
It might be. I can't rule it out. It draws people for breakfast and more for lunch between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. on weekdays. And she uses weekdays as two words. The restaurant reaches beyond the average menu along with the usual fare. There is cranberry wild rice French toast.
That comes what the fuck?
It comes from the griddle.
What the fuck?
There's no commas. It's cranberry wild rice French toast. And there's a turkey bacon melt sandwich I ordered that comes with sliced turkey and bacon, along with cheddar cheese and tomatoes on grilled cranberry wild rice bread. I think we know what their specialty is. Oh my God. The sandwich, $10, was excellent. Well worth the drive up to Hillsborough. Large enough to share with SS. That's Susie Shaft.
You don't want to use those initials, Marilyn.
Shut your mouth. You talk about Susie Shaft. with it, I had a creamy potato soup, and SS was pleased with the veggie beef barley soup.
See, just like, you can't refer to your friend as SS.
At this time of year, the Ainerts find many of their customers are working in nearby fields. They need their food hot and quick.
No.
The menu is inviting and easy to read. Well, when you're 93, that's important, Jason. It features 8 sandwiches served with chips ranging in price from $6.50 for grilled cheese to hot beef sandwiches for $10.
Yeah.
There's also a chicken salad sandwich along with among the 8 on the menu. As they settled into Hillsborough, the Ainerts started featuring a cupcake of the month. Proceeds helped pay overdue lunch accounts at the school. Well, that's nice.
Oh, that's nice.
These days, people start settling into the Hillsborough Cafe before noon. And while the restaurant is a lot of work, Katie Ainert says, we enjoy it more than we ever thought.
That's what she's telling herself.
That's what she said.
Anuses.
The Hillsborough Cafe. It's at 3 North Main Street in Hillsborough, North Dakota. You can call them at 701-636-2073. The owner-operators are Derek and Kate Ainert. Now, is it Katie or is it Kate? Because you've referred her in both ways. I don't know.
Because I know Katie's do not like to be called Kate's, and Kate's do not like to be called Katie's.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really unclear. Now, I feel like I'm going to be awkward if I go.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go now.
I can't
Thanks.
Go now.
Thanks.
The hour is 7 a.m. opening Monday through Friday with a 3 p.m. closing Monday through Thursday and 8 p.m. closing Friday, 10 to 8 on Saturday. Apparently, they observe the Lord's Day because they're not open on Sunday. The report card, a better than average home-owned cafe that brings new life to downtown Hillsborough after 2 years in business. It features unique home cooking. There's seating for 40 in the main dining room and a side room with seating for 30. Okay, the side room seats almost as many as the main room. So it's 2 rooms.
That sounds about right.
The average tab is $15.
And the grade?
There's no grade.
Marilyn!
Again.
Every single time, Marilyn. Come on, man. Like, you can't, you're not consistent. Like, sometimes, like, she'll come up with a grade. Sometimes it'll be like, oh, it was okay. Like, but, like, there was neither of those with that. Like, it was, like, it, there was no, it was.
You feel let down?
Like always, Marilyn lets me down every single time.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
Maybe you should have some mashed potatoes. Make you feel better.
Well, if I knew it was going to be that type of party, I would have stuck my dick in the mashed potatoes. Satan is my daddy.
It's true. By the way, Hillsborough is a city in Trail County, North Dakota. It's the county seat of Trail County, too. The population was 1,603 at the 2010 census. So,
nice.
If you're wondering how many people are there, just under 1,700.
Cool.
So not a lot.
Oh, cool.
Not a lot. lot, but it's the only place to eat. Only place to eat there.
It's a beautiful county building.
Sure, it's really nice.
The courthouse is beautiful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you need to know, it's located at 47 degrees, 24 minutes. Just kidding. I was going to read the compass location for you. Anyway, yeah, screw it. We're done.
We're done, right?
Yeah, we're done. All right, we're done. Have a great one. We'll see you next time on the WTH podcast. Bye-bye.